I just wanted to thank the Mar Dasra, Rabbi Yasger, for such a kind introduction. I want to thank the entire Torah Or community for this wonderful invitation. A special debt of gratitude to Rabbi Dr. Kranzler for personally facilitating this invitation and this wonderful Siyum HaMishnayos. Just coming to know the Goldstein family, but thank you so much for your generosity and devotion to the study of Torah here in this wonderful Kehila. And for me, going around the room, I didn't have to go very far. It's very special to be amongst such wonderful friends, not just familiar faces, but people where the friendships run very, very deep. And it's wonderful to be here in your company. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis tells us, in the name of Abaye, Tesi li, I deserve a certain degree of credit. Dechi chazina tzurba me rabbanan, deshalim masichta avidna yomatava le rabbanan. Because whenever I see a Torah scholar who completes even a single masichta, I go and take it upon myself to organize a proper celebration. The way that the Gemara formulates it, it doesn't sound like it's absolutely required to have a siyum. After all, Abaye says, Tesi li, that I'm going above and beyond. And yet, the Ramah, as we know, the posek of Ashkenazic Jewry, in fact, cites this practice that Abaye initiated as a din, as a halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Yaradeya, Reish Mem Vav, Sifcha Vav, he writes the following. Kshemisayim asachta mitzvah lismoach, v'la'asos su'uda, v'nikre su'udas mitzvah. Not only is it laudatory, not only is it praiseworthy, but it's a mitzvah to rejoice in the completion of a certain amount of Torah, and to have, as you have, and I know people worked so hard on it, at the fanciest weddings I go to, there are usually two options. Here there are three. So, took it very seriously, this Ramah. Lasso suda v'nikre su'udas mitzvah. The Shach, in his gloss on this comment of the Ramah, goes even further. And he adds a dimension that touches upon every single person in this room, whether or not you actually did some of the learning. Now, I don't think anybody can escape without doing the learning for next year, because I see the sheets have already gone out. But for this year, everybody has a role here today. The Shach says, "Afilu mishalo siyem," even those who didn't learn, mitzvah rabbah, it's a great mitzvah, sheyismachim amisayim, that they should join in this celebration. Now, this idea requires some elaboration. After all, you can argue they didn't really participate. But this is exactly the point. When a person learns Torah, when a community such as this one organizes itself around Torah, you know, the people who learn aren't doing it just for themselves. They're doing it for the entire Kehila. They're doing it to create a certain standard, a certain framework within the community, that it's a Torah community, and to serve as an inspiration for others. And anybody who comes and participates and joins in that celebration is affiliating themselves with that very special standard and saying that this is something that they subscribe to, whether or not they participated in the learning this year. And so for me, as somebody coming from the outside, from the Northeast, it's a special simcha to be able to join in your simcha, in your Siyum HaShas, not just one masachta, but all 63 masachtos of the Shisha Siddarim, of the six orders of the Mishnah. And it's to that idea of Shisha Siddarim that I wanted to devote my remarks here on this auspicious occasion. Because we know that the six orders of the Mishnah, Zraim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikim, Kachim, Vitaros, aren't just an aggregate of six different areas of Chadrei HaTorah, but the whole is really greater than the sum of the parts. And I'm going to try to shed some light on that idea. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph shares a pasuk from Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Gimel, pasuk Vav, to describe the dynamic of the Shisha Sidarim. V'haya, Yeshayahu writes, Emunas Itacha, Chosen Yeshuos Chachmas Vadas, Yiras Adonai Hiotzaro. The pasuk translated means that which will provide you with resilience and fortitude is Chachma, is the Torah wisdom that you study, V'yiras Hashem Hiotzaro, and the fear of God will serve to preserve that Torah wisdom within you. Now, Rabbi Dr. Kranzler and I didn't compare notes. He quoted a story of Reish Lakish a little bit earlier. So I'd like to develop a comment of Reish Lakish as well, analyzing this pasuk in Yeshayahu as it appears in this Gemara in Shabbos. Omer Reish Lakish, my dichsiv, what is this pasuk, v'aya emunas itacha, chosen yeshuos chachmas vadas? Emunas, zeh seder zraim. Faith, that is the first of the six orders, zraim. Itacha, time, zeh seder moed, that is the second order. Chosen, resilience or fortitude, zeh seder nashim. Yeshuos, salvations, zeh seder nezikin. Chochmas, wisdom, zeh seder kodshim, the penultimate seder. And then finally, vada'as, zeh seder taharos. That is a reference to the final order. Lan made the siyum on taharos, a very challenging seder at that. These are the six siddarim. The Gemara is beautiful, but also enigmatic. It's not immediately clear to us what the association is, for example, between emuna, faith, and seder zraim, or for that matter, chosen, resilience, and the seven masachtos of seder nashim. If somebody said, you know, if you learned all of seder nashim, you learned yevamos and ksuvos and nazir and Nadarim, and Sota, and Gittin, and Kiddushin, and said, come up with a single word. I don't know how many people would choose Chosen, would choose resilience. Maybe after learning Yevamos, a little bit of Chosen, a little bit of resilience, for those who know. But still, we have to try to understand a little bit better. The Gemara at this point pivots and shares a superficially unrelated observation. I say superficially because in a moment we'll see that it's not unrelated at all. Amar Rava, b'shah shemachnisen adam ledin, after 120, and we hope for even more years, when a person goes before the celestial tribunal to take account of the life that he or she lived, omrim lo, so they ask the following six questions. Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna, did you conduct yourself honestly? Kavata itim l'Torah, did you set aside time for Torah study? Asakta b'pirio rivya, did you dedicate yourself to family life? Sipisa l'Yeshua, did you look forward to redemption? Pilpalta b'chachma, did you try to go even further with greater depth in learning? Hevanta davar mitoch davar, did you have the insight to infer one thing from another? I said superficially unrelated a moment ago because on closer scrutiny, it becomes very obvious that the two passages that we read from the Gemara are actually deeply related to each other. Just for example, Seder Zraim, we noted, was called the Seder of Emuna. And the first of the six questions was what? Nasata v'nasata be'emuna. Did you conduct yourself with integrity? Seder Moed, was affiliated in the pasuk in Yeshayahu with the term itim, v'aya emunas itecha. And what was the second question? Kavata itim l'Torah. So now we have the roadmap. We're going to go one by one over the next few minutes and try to appreciate the way that Chazal understood the sum total of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, and when we gather to reflect on completing these Siddarim, the six questions that we can ask ourselves as a way of calibrating whether we've really internalized the message of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. And here I refer to a very beautiful story. I wasn't there to witness it, but it's what I was told, and I believe that it happened, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the great founder of the Musar movement, said, you know, people can go through all of Shas and sometimes half of Shas, but the more important question is how much of it went through them. How much of it really sticks and impacts on a person. And that's really the framing that I'd like to try to use this afternoon together with you. As we mentioned, Seder Zeraim is affiliated with the Midah of Yashrus, of Ehrlichkeit, of integrity. Now, it may seem abstract to us why that would be the case, but if you were a farmer in Eretz Yisrael, having to separate Trumos and Maisros and Maiser Sheni and being honest in uncertain situations, somebody here must have learned, because you made a siyum on all of it, Demai. Demai is, we're not sure exactly, were the taxes, were the tithes already separated, were they not already separated? And certainly when it comes to the greatest nisayon, the greatest challenge of all, shviyas, that you're not allowed to work for an entire year, how are you supposed to support yourself? And it's so tempting to cut corners under those circumstances and to rationalize and to justify and to say, I have to make a parnasa for myself, my family. And so what Seder Zeraim is all about in the end is yashrus, is the capacity to find the strength within oneself to live a life of integrity, of nasata v'nasata be'emuna. Now, you might guess, coming from Teaneck, as was mentioned, my background is not in the agrarian sector. That's an understatement. But I have more experience today than I have had at any point in my life. Last week I had the great zechus of being in Eretz Yisrael. And I hope it's okay that the learning that was done here, that we'll do here today, isn't only dedicated to the wonderful neshamos that were just mentioned, but as a zechus for Achenu B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, they should have great success, the battle for the soul of the Jewish people, and that all of the hostages should be returned. So you know, there are no workers right now to bring in the harvest in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody's either at the front, there's no workers who are coming in, and it's a real situation. So for a few hours, I was only in Eretz Yisrael for 72 hours, but every hour was filled with great meaning. So we went to a farm called Carmel Yosef to prune loquats. Okay? Pruning loquats, they can teach you. I showed up with no loquat pruning experience, I promise you. Anybody here can do it. I did it. And I said to Tomer, the farmer, I said, Bikvutza shalanu, in our group, ein harbe nisayon. There's very little experience with loquat pruning. Aval yesh hamon ratzon, but we have a great desire to help. So he responded to me without missing a beat, and he said, "V'tov shekach, it's good. Ki nisayon b'li ratzon zelo ozer b'klum." Because if we have experience, but you don't really want to help, it's not going to be successful. I got to know Tomer a little bit. It's really his father's farm. His father's 88 years old. He comes to work every single day. He works on the farm. And they're people of yashrus. They're people of integrity. And they take such great pride in the work that they do, making sure that there's agriculture in Eretz Yisrael, that there's food in Eretz Yisrael. It was a great zchus to participate even for just a few hours in making sure that there will be a harvest this year. If we think about the term emunah, which we use to connote faith, the truth is that in Tanakh, it has a more basic connotation. It wasn't that long ago that we read about the attack of Amalek, something we're all living through again right now, at the end of Parshas Bishalach. And let's remember, let's remind each other how Moshe's arms are described in that battle. Vayhi Adav Emunah Ad Bo HaShamesh. The word Emunah actually means straight and firm. That's why we describe faith with that word, because a person of Emunah is a person who's steadfast no matter what comes their way. The Pasuk tells us we're going to have it in just a few weeks when we read Parsha Shkalim, the Haftorah, when Yehoash rededicated himself to the Bedek HaBayis, to repairing the Beis HaMikdash, that he trusted all of the artisans implicitly. Their integrity was beyond reproach. And listen to the word that the Navi uses to describe honesty. V'lo yichashvu es ha'anashim asher yitnu es ha'kesef al yadam laseis lo se hamlacha. They didn't have to be supervised. Ki ve'emunah hemosin. Because you could trust them, they were honest people. Nasata v'nasata be'emunah. The first question of Shas is living a life of integrity. That's something that we all have the opportunity to do every single day in all of our dealings with fellow members of Klal Yisrael, with fellow B'nai Adam, anybody that we interact with. To be a Jew should be synonymous with Ehrlichkeit, with Yashrus, with honesty in all respects. Now, second, we have Seder Moed, Itecha. In the narrow sense, of course, this refers to Shabbos, the Yamim Tovim, Kiddushas Hazman. But what Chazal wanted us to understand was that Seder Moed teaches us about the capacity that we have to sanctify time, not just on Shabbos and the Yamim Tovim, but every single day. Kavata Itim LaTorah? Did you sanctify a certain portion of the day? Now in this room, by definition, I find myself preaching to the choir. You're all here for a Siyum HaShas. But the truth is, it's not only about Torah study. It's about ensuring that we're doing meaningful things with our time, sanctifying it above the mundane. It's always good to relax, and I hear that there are wonderful opportunities to do so right here. But to make sure that every single day we're reaching out to others, as I know is really the hallmark of this community, with chesed, with Torah, making sure that everybody's accounted for one way or another, that nobody, whether they're here all year, 6 months, 3 months, slips through the cracks, that people are invited, that people are noticed. We have the opportunity to sanctify time each and every day, and to make sure that at the end of the day, we have what to show for ourselves, even if it's not a Shabbos or Yontif. It could just be a plain, regular Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The Kedusha of the day depends mostly on us, on how we do with our time. And here, I'll add that there's both a special challenge and a special responsibility, because I know many people here may no longer have the same structure they did in the full-time working years. There are plenty of people I know in the room who are still working. And that becomes a greater challenge. You know, without the structure that's built in for the 9-to-5. And it's so impressive to me to look around this room and see how Rabbi Dr. Kranzler and others have facilitated a structure where everybody can find meaning, everybody can find purpose and meaningful activities throughout the course, not only of their Shabbosim and Yamim Tovim, but each and every day. The third question of the Shas is associated with Seder Nashim, Chosen, resilience. The question that Chazal affiliated with this Seder was Asakta Bepiria Virivya. At a surface level, we might say that the reason that Chazal associated family life with Chosen, resilience, is because some of us remember, and others are in the thicket, Chasdei Hashem, we have 4 children under 9, so we're very much in the thick of it, that there's such a thing called Tsar Gidol Banim. If you don't remember, that's a good thing. But, you know, it takes a little bit of chosen. It takes a little bit of resilience sometimes, and you say to yourself, it's gonna be okay. They're gonna one day remember. A little bit of bribery here, a little bit of time out over here, some combination of the two, and you hope that everything moves in the right direction. But the truth is, I think Chazal had something much deeper in mind than Tsar Gidol Banim. Chosen, resilience, is a midah that Chazal always understood was the special hallmark of Jewish women, of Seder Nashim. From the beginning of our people's history, from the time of Shibud Mitzrayim, what did Chazal tell us? How did we get out of there? Nashim Tzidkaniyos, Sheb Oso Dor, exactly. Nigalu Avosenu Mitzrayim. The men had long since given up. They said it was all lost. And the women believed, and the women knew that there would be a future. And I want to tell you, it's no different. I came back from Eretz Yisrael. And the Chayalim, they're very impressive. And the Mifakdim and the Ktinim, they're very impressive. And they're Moser Nefesh. And it's something else. But what's really impressive are the women. The women who are holding down the home front with all of their children. And it's never easy to be a single parent. But when you're trying to raise whatever it is, 4 or 5, 6, many times more children, and your heart is in your throat the whole time because you know where your husband is, or in many of the cases that I met, that unfortunately that he isn't, or that he's not whole anymore. And to meet these women and to encounter their chosen, their resilience, I tell you, it's nothing less than the Nashim Tzidkaniyos Sheba'oso Hador, than the Nashim Tzidkaniyos of Mitzrayim. It's a religious experience to meet these women. Now, we had an incredible experience a week ago, Tuesday night. Our group, they told us it was the largest group that went to Eretz Yisrael. We had 130 people from Bergen County, so it's not even as many people as you have in this room, okay? We had 130 people. And we had an opportunity. There were 600 soldiers coming off the front lines. Reserve Brigade 9203. And they said, I don't know if you heard his name, but he's a very big singer, Yishai Rebo. Yishai Rebo wants to do a concert. Maybe we'll bring him here to Boca. He's coming? Noch besser. Okay. He's on the way. Okay. So Yishai Rebo, we had to get together. The people are very generous. And it was an amazing evening to see all these guys are my age. They haven't seen their kids in 4 months. To see even one person take their kids in their arms, that would have been Dayenu. To see 600 Ashrei Ayin Ras Azos. But the best part of the night, after they gave out all the words, the commanders and the officers, and they remembered those who didn't come home, and those who didn't come home whole, and they did it with a beautiful, with all the kavod that the people deserved. The biggest ovation, and it wasn't even close, is they said, now we have to thank those who we really owe it to, our wives. And the whole room stood up, thousands of people. It was an unbelievable thing, because everybody understood that as much as they sacrificed, as hard as they fought for Am Yisrael, the real gevura was every single night, every breakfast and every bedtime and every diaper, all of it. These women are chosen. They're the resilience of Klal Yisrael. They're why our enemies will never break us. The fourth Seder Nezikin, is affiliated with the word in Yeshayahu, Yeshuos, salvation. Or in the question, Tzipisa li Yeshua. Could be that Chazal had in mind that there's a perek, somebody here learned it, at the end of Sanhedrin, the last chapter of Sanhedrin is called Perek HaChelek, where it actually deals with these topics, Yemos HaMashiach, Olam Haba, and the like. But I always thought that this reference to Yeshuos was a reference to another Mishnah in Seder Nezikin, which is actually found in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah tells us, Al tisyoish mina pur'anus, that a person should never despair when they face pur'anus, when they face any kind of... Do we have to evacuate them? Oh, okay. So Chazal tell us, Al tisyoish mina pur'anus. Every person, in one way or another, experiences challenge in life. Very often, the challenge is beyond our control. What we can control, however, is our response to it. And the idea that Chazal sought to convey, Al tisyoish, is that we can always choose positivity and optimism. There's a woman in our kehillah in Tinek. She's the oldest, youngest member of our kehillah. Survivor of the war. She's almost 103 years old. I have the zechus of speaking to her every Erev Shabbos. The same time, usually every week, plus or minus a few minutes. And I always say to her, Mrs. Rotmill, quoting the Gemara in Megillah, "Bemeherach yamim, how did you have such longevity?" And she says the same thing every week. And I'm asking not for her, I'm asking her for me, because I take so much chizuk from it. And she says, you know, it's all in God's hands, of course. But if she credits herself with anything, it's that she always maintains a positive outlook. And you might think, okay, well, some people are born that way. You know, there's some people who are born, you know, they're more optimistic. Some people are more pessimistic. And you can't change these things. But it's not so. So Mrs. Rotmill always tells me that in the years after the war, she really was a very bitter person. And then she made a conscious decision to try to focus on the positive things in life. And she says to me, and I'm not going to imitate it, but it really is better in her very heavy European accent. She's from Poland. And she says the following. She says, if you're going to complain all day, you'll make yourself miserable and you'll make everybody else miserable. And you have no right to do that. That's the truth. Al tisyayish mina poranas. The message of the fourth Seder is that for all of us, when we encounter challenges in life, we have to try very hard not to allow those challenges to stick us in a kind of a rut. Always to try to think in a positive way about the opportunities that we still have. The opportunities that are right in front of us. The fifth Seder, Seder Kodshim, is affiliated with the term Chachma by the Gemara. And the question that goes along with that, as we read, is Pilpalta b'Chachma. Now, if you know anything about Seder Kodshim, and I promise you I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds, you'll know immediately why Chazal had this association. Seder Kodshim is very, very intricate. every detail has to be understood properly. I'm just going to give one example, and I promise you I'm not going to go any further than just this one example. But there's such a thing called the Karban Ola, which is entirely burnt, and such a thing called the Karban Chatas, a sin offering. So when it comes to the Karban Ola and the Karban Chatas, there's a different procedure that they have. And a lot of the first Masachta and Seder Kachim Zvachim is about this point. The Ola goes on two of the four corners of the Mizbeach. That's what we call Shnayim Shem Arba, and it goes on the bottom of the Mizbeach. The Chatas, you have to touch all four corners, and it's on top. Okay? That already requires some explanation. What's even more interesting is that if you're not bringing an animal, if you're bringing a bird, which is a possibility, what we call a Chatas or an Ola Sa'of, Fakert, it's flipped. The Ola goes on top, and the Chatas goes on the bottom. Now, I'm not going to get into why that would be today. Maybe they'll invite me back, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll let me talk about this, maybe not. But the point is, Pilpalta Bechachma. To understand these things, you have to really immerse yourself in the subject. Now, of course, there's no higher calling than immersing ourselves in Torah study. But for anybody in this room, there's a message well beyond the Dalet Amos of Halacha. And that message is to maintain our intellectual curiosity. No matter how long we've been around, to maintain curiosity about God's beautiful world, there's always something to learn, something new to discover, whether it's in Torah or anything else. To maintain that outlook of being forever young and curious about the world, the same way that a child is when a child sees something for the first time and doesn't quite understand why it is the way that it is, and then you realize you don't know either, but you've long since stopped to ask the question. Seder Kachim Pilpalta Bechachma reminds us of the imperative of staying intellectually young, curious about the world around us, that there's always something new to see, something new to learn, something new to do. And if we maintain that posture, then we really do never grow old. As Chazal say at the very conclusion of Seder Kachim, Od yinuvun b'seiva d'sheinim v'rananim yiyu, that no matter what their quantitative, chronological age is, if they maintain this attitude of curiosity, they'll be forever young. I know people in this room, I'm looking at some of them, had the privilege of learning with the Rav, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. But the Rav had a very famous comment that he used to make in his later years, that if somebody asked him how old he was, he said it would depend. If he was in the doctor's office, he felt that he was 120, maybe older. But in Shir, and the boys, he became young again. All of the questions, all of the insights, all of the back and forth, it made him a young man again. It brought him back to earlier days and different times. And so for all of us, Pilpalta Bechachma, the capacity to stay young in mind and in spirit. And sixth and finally, Seder Taros is associated with the term Da'as, or as Chazal formulated in the question, Hevanta Davar Mitoch Davar. What I call perspective. Taharos, and again, I promise you, I'm not going to take you too deep into the weeds, is all about the interrelationship between things. In the world of Taharos, we start out with a mace, which is called the Avi Avos Hatama. Death itself is the center of Tuma. And then something which comes into contact is what we call an Av. And then one degree removed is called the Rishon. And then you could have a derivative of that called the Sheni. And then if you're dealing in the world of Truma, you could have a tertiary degree, something called the Shlishi. And if you're dealing in the world of Kachem, Ilan's nodding because he learned it. So you could have something called a Revi, a quaternary degree of Tumah. It's all about the interrelationships, how a Rishon makes a Sheni, makes a Shlishi, and sometimes you can even go backwards. Sometimes, you know, Chazal made a Takana, you learned Masachta Yadayim, so we know that if the hands are wet, that could be Chozer Lios Rishon, you could start going backwards, it's derivatives and integrals, it's like calculus all over again for those who studied it. But the point is, of Seder Taros, to understand interrelationships and connections between things. You look around the room, it's a room of experience in life, of perspective, of understanding how one thing leads to the next and leads to the next. That life and wisdom isn't about accumulating facts, but developing understanding and perspective. Putting things into proper perspective, balance and proportion. Young people are often overzealous and overexcited in one direction or the other. When they need the wisdom of people who have seen a thing or two to put it in its proper place. Hevanta davar mitoch davar, to be able to see the true matter in front of them and put everything into proper perspective. And so to summarize and distill, the Shisha Sedarim that were completed in this room by this wonderful Kehila challenge us to think about six fundamental questions. First, emuna, not only in the sense of faith, but in the sense of integrity, our erlichkeit and our yashrus. Second, moed, our itim, how we use our time, each day of which is precious. Third, chosen, the resilience that we demonstrate b'piria v'rivia in family life and beyond. Fourth, tzipisa liyeshua, meseder nezikin, to maintain an optimistic perspective, al tisyoish, mina puranas. Fifth, pilpalta b'chachma, to maintain our curiosity about the world around us, to remain young and hardened in spirit and in mind. And sixth, seder taros, hevanta davar mitoch davar, to have proper perspective and to be able to share that with future generations. Shalavicha v'yagevcha zekenecha v'yom rulach, this room has so much to teach, so much to offer subsequent generations in wisdom and perspective. And may the Torah that you learn so assiduously in this community serve as the anchor of that perspective that will undoubtedly redound to the benefit of all those who come into contact with you. Thank you so much for having me.